D2, number 19B.
And then came Hegel. Hegel, who had most similarity with Mrs. Eddy's work. Hegel is the one philosopher that over long stretches really says in his work what may also be found in Mrs. Eddy's work. Not all of it. And he was quite brave about seeing what Christianity is and what Jesus is. He already could see that the historical Jesus is really of no avail, that the idea behind Jesus was Christ, and that was the idea which should live in each one of us. Well, this is just by the way. But in the way of idea, Hegel, you say Hegel or Hegel? Hegel also. In the German it's Hegel. Hegel, all right. So let him have in Hegel. He could see, you see, that idea is really the only true being. But that there is a unity of idea, just as the fourth period had already seen. But he could see that all ideas together are the one idea that he could see. Already. That consciousness is one consciousness and therefore one idea containing all ideas. As if he would have said, man is the compound idea including all right ideas. You see, he already somehow could see that idea is a compound of all ideas. The unity of all ideas in the one idea, and that one idea to him was a system of ideas, and that system of ideas was forming history. That history was nothing else but the self-representation in human experience of the one idea. Terrific. Christ Christianity. Science Christianity. Or science history of idea, he could see. He began to see what we have already seen with Heidegger, you see, that an idea precipitates itself upon mankind and brings forth in mankind the chain of scientific ideas as a history of ideas. And he was the one who began to see something new, which then is taken over by Mrs. Eddy by leaps and bounds, though we may not have seen it before. He was the first one who could see, because spirit and or matter and idea are not two, but two ways of looking at the same thing, he could see that he could make out of a thesis and an antithesis a synthesis. He could see that idea and matter are a thesis and an antithesis as duality. And he could see that there are only two ways of looking at things, therefore he could overform that sense of being dual into a synthesis, into a higher standpoint, that it is just a matter of standpoint. But he began to see also that this is no solution, that because the moment you do that and say, well, it's only a matter of standpoint, you are once set with the synthesis another thesis, which asks for another antithesis. If we say, well, spirit and matter are the same, it's only a question of how we look at it, we can look in both ways, then we just exchange, really, matter and spirit for two ways of looking at things. And we have another duality. Isn't it? You see? So, yes. If you have spirit and matter, or idea and matter, and you say, like Chardin says, like many other up to date say it, and we think, what a wonderful thing they say. All that had been said hundreds of years ago. They said, this is not a duality, it's just two ways of looking at it. So it is the standpoint that decides if we see something as idea or something as matter. But if it is a standpoint, apparently there are two standpoints. And so standpoint asks again for an antithesis. says, oh, when you can have two standpoints, which one is right? It's no more a question, is idea right or matter right, but the question, is this standpoint right or that standpoint right? He began to see that, I don't know if he began to see that or not, that I'm not quite sure now, but at least he brought forth that new thing, you see, that he has a thesis and an antithesis, melting into a synthesis. Well, Mrs. Eddy's writing is full of that. Full of that. Stating one thing and saying the opposite thing. And say, now, which one is right? But we'll see later on that she had a higher logic than Hegel. And what it is, we'll see very soon. It is in this period, you see, of consciousness, where it says, well, idea and matter is just a matter of consciousness, of looking at things, again. We have also Schopenhauer, who said, well, these ideas, because they are consciousness, they are not living in the realm of space and time, and he took them right out of space and time, and saw that consciousness is timeless and spaceless. And on that ground, naturally, the psychologist could come in and begin to deal with consciousness by seeing that what happened in subconsciousness or in unconsciousness 1,000 years ago, 100 years ago, 50 years ago, in pre-birth ago, have their effect on human life. That these so-called ideas, so-called consciousness, are the apparent reality of mortal existence. And as it is, you see, because they never have touched reality quite, things moved, and at the end of that period, we have, towards 1900 or so, we have that state where from the sixth period there is a change over to the new sense of consciousness. It was Husserl and his school, a very fine thinker, Husserl and his school, who said, consciousness must be somehow intuition. And that intuition is possible then when we empty consciousness of our rational thinking. Then consciousness is open for the influx of intuition. And that may be more or less the end of that great period, sixth period, where idea became consciousness. Then the great change came to the seventh state. It came all over. It came not only with the philosophers, it came with the physicists especially, with Einstein, Planck, Bohr, Heisenberg. And it was something very new. They too began to philosophize. Can you say that, philosophize? Oh, jolly good. About the idea behind all that which they were investigating, the idea behind physics and what they are finding out, the idea behind matter, because they found out that matter is not a thing, that matter is not something by itself but is a structure. And that led them to a completely new metaphysics. And completely new metaphysics which says if matter is not an atom or an electron, but a structure of all sorts of things, as we have seen, a structure of tangibility, of weight, of mass, of gravitation, of energy, of divisibility, and all that, that is a compound which makes the term matter, but is a structure. They came out of that atomistic sense of idea too. Plato started and Democrit started with that sense that an idea is a single spot, so to say, in the whole of being, and we are considering that and combining that into a system and making see that it is consciousness and so on, but always feeling that it is a something. And now, because they had seen that matter, electricity, all those most important fundamental material expressions in being were not elements as such, but structures, they began also to see that therefore idea must be structure and not an atomistic element in being. So this new metaphysics which they began to see was that more comprehensive sense. They became now comprehensivists, and so the idea must be comprehended from the point of view of wholeness, from the point of view of the wholeness of being. And so put metaphysics right into ontology. They didn't take any more metaphysics as a branch of ontology, but put ideas right back into the wholeness of being and said, only from the wholeness of being we see the idea of wholeness. Can you see what we were doing a few days ago that finds here its complementary presentation in these people? For instance, the English philosopher, or whatever you can call it, Whitehead, see, he began to see that which has been considered as ideational, namely consciousness, is not sufficient. That consciousness, he said, is not the last step in the development. That there must be something higher. And he said, that must be something higher waiting for man which is above just consciousness. That man, he said, must develop into angels or into gods. That's his way of putting it. That's his way, the way we were seeing that today. We see that science is all right because it's the explication of the whole system of being, but that science is only a way and not an aim, and that way leads past science into being. He said that ideas are constantly mutating and are always the whole universe. Can you see how he became a comprehensivist? How ideas to him were no more single facets of being, but were always the whole universe. Whatever the idea was, he considered it from the point of view of the whole of universe. A few years later, in the war, after the war, we had a wonderful spiritual metaphysician, philosopher, ontologist in Germany, Nikolai Hartmann. And I read some of it just a few weeks ago, after I had seen all about the chart and what the chart involves, and I read that chap, and you know, he said, idea is the chart. He said, idea is the whole. What whole? He says, the idea is the whole of being. And that whole of being has four levels. The material level, the organic level, the mental level, the spiritual level. He says, each level has a categorical novum, that each level brings in something new, just as we have seen with our levels. He says that each level has categories, just as we have the verticals, the categories of the word, Christ, Christianity. He saw that each level has categories, and that some of the categories go right vertical through all the levels. But because they go right through vertically through all the horizontal levels, he could see that those categories have the office of overforming the lower level into the form of the higher level. What we are talking about, all about the chart. He began to see and said that each level has its own laws. The laws of the lowest level, second lowest level. He began to see that those laws are not contradicting each other, but they are overformed presentations of the lower laws. Just as we have seen that the law of causation is overformed into the law of spontaneity, the law of spontaneity is overformed into the law of ever-present, changing form but always remaining the same, not contrary to each other. He began to see and was talking about the laws of interdependence of each level with the other. What have we been doing the last 2 days? Showing the interdependence of one level with the other level. For instance, showing that life, truth and love in absolute Christian Science is expressing itself as mind, as spirit, as soul, as principle, and life and truth and love on the level of Christian Science. See, these are what he calls the law of interdependence of the levels. Actually, he had everything fundamental in it, what we see now on the spiritual levels and charts. And he said, all that together is the idea. Isn't it terrific? See, all these makes one see that Christian Science is not Christian scientists thinking about Christian Science. That Christian Science is the world. That Christian Science is the truth appearing in the world, wherever it is. Here, I showed it, the appearing of Christian Science through 2,500 years, bringing forth, really, the true sense of idea. You know, we always have two ways of reaching the truth. One is revelation, the second is reasoning. Revelation is the quickest work, but very few people are receptive to revelation. The long way is reasoning it out. What Jesus saw in a split second, the philosophers had to take 2,500 years to begin to see it. But Mrs. Eddy came and said, I'm not going to write the textbook for angels and for gods. I'm going to write a textbook for humanity, and humanity in general is educated in logical reasoning and education, and I write it for the Western world and reason it out with them. Therefore, her great contribution was, how can I present revelation in terms of reasoning and wedding those? So we have here Nikolai Hartmann, who more or less in his way and his attempt presented that idea is structure, the structure of the whole. And we have another philosopher who really is the top physicist of today, Heisenberg. Heisenberg is ranged in the classification on the same level, I guess, with Einstein, with Planck. These are the great, great physicists who really see deep into things. And being a physicist who sees deep into things, which is called matter, and seeing that he never sees matter, he said, idea is a purposeful, fundamental structure of greatest simplicity. Isn't the chart a fundamental, great fundamental structure of greatest simplicity? 15 terms, and you have the whole of being. The whole of being reduced to 15 terms. And knowing those 15 terms in their right classification and levels and categories, we compute and compose eternal being. Terrific. And Heisenberg says, that's idea. That's idea. Idea to him is not only really a purposeful, fundamental structure of great simplicity, but in that simplicity, he sees there is no subjective and objective. He lifts it right out of dualism. And he sees that that can no more be understood through the old classical reasoning, that it asked for a higher organ of comprehension. That's what the hippies are longing to. The hippies don't want to reason things out anymore. They long. They feel it indefinitely, that there is a way of comprehension which is above classical reasoning. And Heisenberg is one of those hippies in this way. See? Just as the hippies are not on either side, on idealism or on materialism. They are not having a new philosophy on idealism. It says, we have a new philosophy of idealism. Nor are they trying to improve the logical material reasoning and materialism in order to get the new world. They say, we are not interested in either of both. We are a third one. A third one. There must be a third way. Not idea, not idealism, not reasoning, humanly, nor materialism, building up a better organized material world. There must be something right from my unity with being. That's why they take LSD and so on, because they feel in that way they have immediate unity with being and immediate inspiration from being. Well, we have seen everything usually, a new era usually starts with the counterfeit, with LSD here. But it's only the counterfeit that comes up because the right idea is at work already. And if Heisenberg is a modern hippie or a reasonable hippie, he sees, yes, there must be a new way of comprehension. And he further says that this idea is a unifying order of the whole world. That's idea, singular. Terrific. See, how he, through investigating matter and not finding the answer for matter, he was pushed to the metaphysical aspect of the world, and he could see that the world can be seen as a structure of some very simple, fundamental categories forming a structure. That structure cannot be understood through the ordinary classical way of comprehension, that it demands a comprehensivist way of comprehension, and that the comprehensivist way of comprehension is unifying everything in a simple order of the world. That's why he falls back to a great extent to Goethe, who was the first big comprehensivist we know. So, this is the story of how the idea developed, you see, through the ages. And if we remember what Martin Heidegger said, we can see that somehow we can prove this. You remember how Martin Heidegger said, people are not at liberty to think the way they want to think. There is being capitalized, which expresses itself in being, small b, bringing out a history of being, a history of idea, making people think what the idea impels them to think. That those big philosophers were not at liberty to think something new. That the divine idea pushed on them a new vision, but bring them in a big order up to date. So here we are at this present stage where we see that idea is not an atomistic sense of idea, but that idea is the comprehensivist sense of idea, looking at it always as a structure. That structure is idea. And now, somehow, something new is coming. The idea of the cybernator. That which takes that structure and says, and I show you now how that structure is self-organizing. That structure has in itself not a consciousness, but that it is ruled and informed by a higher self-consciousness. Well, that's the next hour.